In the studio with us now, Kay Holdren joins us. She is the director of Hospice of Evangelical. Move one inch closer to that mic.
I will do that.
And say good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Oh, thank you so much for coming in. I have a real interest in hospice because I think it's sort of not talked about, but very much utilized service by a lot of people. And at Evangelical Community Hospital, 30 years of hospice has been underway.
In July, we celebrated our 30th anniversary.
And you've been with the hospital 35 years,
I've been at the hospital for 35 years, yes.
Right, and 29 of which with the Hospice of Evangelical. So, well, I guess congratulations on everyone's milestones that have happened, 30 years for the hospice
Thank
and 35
you.
For you. So that's just fabulous. So you're a good, dedicated, long-term employee. That's what companies like. Well, when we're talking about Hospice of Evangelical, what's the definition of hospice and Hospice of Evangelical?
Hospice is care for those who have a life-limiting illness where the physician in their best guess think that life expectancy is 6 months or less. And so obviously we have people that live longer than the 6 months, and I sometimes credit good hospice care to helping people to do that. But what the focus becomes instead of on cure to care. So that we're making sure that pain and symptoms are managed, that families know they have the support that they need, and that we can focus on what makes a good day for that person.
And I guess sort of trying to maintain quality of life for the patient would be part of
yes,
this.
Yes, absolutely. And quality is defined differently by each person, you know, whether it's spending time with family, doing one last trip somewhere, like we've had people do their family trip to the beach and help to make that happen. Or if it's just making sure someone gets to a graduation or a wedding, a lot of times I think our patients are able to set goals of what they want to see happen or how they want to be able to be part of a special family event. And our staff really take pride in being able to help people to do that.
Right. So you have a staff of individuals that work for Hospice of Evangelical, but you rely on volunteers. They do a lot of the hands-on work.
The volunteers are a key part of hospice care. And I think one of the things that makes us different from a lot of aspects of medical care, because the volunteers are that component that actually go in and help the families with respite. So that, for instance, if someone is not getting sleep at night, a volunteer may go in just so they can get a nap. Or if they're doing 24-hour caregiving, they may go in so that the loved one can go to the grocery store. Or maybe that person likes doing the outside work, but they need somebody in the house. So the volunteer may go in so that the loved one can go out and mow the grass. So it really is a myriad of activities that volunteers can do to help families be able to manage and to take care of the caregiver.
Right, and you are looking for a hospice volunteer. So I want to say that before I even explore more into what hospice is all about. And I just think modern hospice there's so much more to it than I think maybe there used to be. I think what you described as sort of the visitation respite thing used to be all there was. And I think now, it can take place anywhere. But you are looking for volunteers.
We are. We are doing a volunteer training in September, September 10th and 11th. It's a two-day training. And I would say if you can't make that training but have an interest, to please call our office and get information about volunteering. We are always looking for supports to add to our families. So, for instance, we have music support. We have a volunteer who goes to different facilities and plays the clarinet. Our patients love that. Like, if we had more music, we have volunteers who have pet therapy dogs that can go and visit. And there's, if you're an animal lover, having a pet therapy dog visit is the highlight of the day. And so we can use more of that type of supports for our patients and families. And the other parts of support that we use are supports in the office. We have volunteers who come in and get our charts ready or do packets and mailings. And then we have volunteers who will contact our bereaved families and provide support for the year after their loved one passes.
So hospice continues to follow up and to make sure that any help or service or aid that can be provided is.
Yes. And so we, of course, hospice is a team of people. So we have our nurses and our social work, our chaplain, and other parts of the team. But the social worker and chaplain are very much involved in the bereavement support and providing that type of extra support if needed, as well as our volunteers, who I believe the biggest support that sometimes we provide is a listening ear.
Well, I think, listening would have to be just talking. I know people that get into end-of-life situations sometimes wish to talk, mm-hmm. To describe what they remember or maybe even have it recorded or even noted, maybe written hand notes, that kind of thing. They just want to make sure that some of this legacy stuff is brought up.
It's true. And in fact, like just recently, we've had a patient who wanted to write letters. And so a volunteer can go in and help write those letters. And so there are so many different aspects that a volunteer can do and add to the supports that we offer to families in a very sacred time.
Yeah, and what kind of angel does hospice volunteering?
You volunteer
to get your heart torn out. Oh, baby, that's a good job.
I think that we just had a volunteer meeting yesterday, and one of the volunteers made the statement that every contact she has, it touches her heart. You know, when you're able to visit people when all of the facades are not there anymore, you are just able to go in and, if someone's a true Penn State fan, hear the stories of what they've attended for all those games and what their memories are, and be able to, I think, help define a person's legacy. And this volunteer talked about how this gentleman loved playing cards. And so every week she would go and there would be a card game. And how much pleasure that gave that gentleman, because there was someone there to do what he enjoyed.
And some volunteers have been in the program for a long time. Now, some are shorter term, but others have been around for a long time.
Yeah, we actually have one volunteer who's been there for 29 of the 30 years. And then, of course, we have volunteers who are there for decades, 10, 20 years. And their roles might change. That's the one nice thing about volunteering with hospice. You can be doing one thing and say maybe doing patient care, but then decide I need a break. Or maybe there's something that's happened in your family and you're not as able. So there might be another part of hospice where you can volunteer or you can take a break for the time you need and then come back and when you're ready to help. Because there's just all kinds of different ways that people can help.
All right, and so people can volunteer at any stage in their life. I mean, I think you mentioned retirees, and that's what my brain kind of goes to, I think, who would have the free time. But somebody who's 20-something or 30-something who thinks they have the time to put into it,
exactly.
Hey,
and actually,
it.
We have a new program starting in September. Bucknell students that are interested in pre-med. There's a small group that are going to be volunteering with hospice to that they're adding that as part of the curriculum for those who are interested in terms of end-of-life care and becoming more comfortable, becoming more familiar. And I think the nice part about this is it takes it from being a clinical aspect of care to a very personal, social, intimate aspect of care.
All right, so it's a very important part of the Evangelical Community Hospital's full range, then. It's almost, in a manner of speaking, like a medical specialty.
I do believe hospice care is, and I think anyone who knows a hospice nurse knows the specialty that they have in terms of pain and symptom management. And then when you take our team, the social worker, the chaplain, everyone, and then we have the supporting people who help us, our pharmacist, our dietitian, the therapist. And so it is about everyone coming together to look at holistic care for the patient and family, because without the family providing care, we wouldn't be able to provide care.
Sure, in many of these cases, the patient will say, okay, well, this is what, it's end of life. I'm coming to grips with this. This is what I would like to do, or this is what I would like, or maybe I'd like to talk, or maybe I'd like to listen. So you get a volunteer who talks a lot.
Exactly. Or maybe you have someone who doesn't really want to talk, but they need somebody there, and you need someone who can respect the silence.
Okay, right. Maybe just watch a movie or something like that or whatever.
We had a gentleman one time who he wanted a volunteer to come and watch football with him.
Okay. Wow, that's good work if you can get it. Okay. Well, we are talking about Hospice of Evangelical Community Hospital. It's not a coincidence that a volunteer training is coming up in September. Deanna Hollenbach, who always gets producer credits for our good interview, says this was a timely opportunity to talk about this. But in addition to that, we are talking about what hospice is. I think modern hospice has a definition, too, that might be a little bit different than when hospice did start 30 years ago, so we can really talk about that. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back at 7:40, we'll continue to explore this. We have to talk about where hospice takes place. We've said home a couple times, but I know hospice volunteers visit a hospital sometimes or even a nursing home, that kind of setting, so we can talk about that. I know you're working with the palliative care folks more these days, and we'll bust a few myths about hospice. So
sounds great.
That's one of our jobs here. So we're going to do that shortly. I'm glad to say Kay Holdren is in Hospice of Evangelical. She's a director, and we're talking about Hospice of Evangelical, and we'll continue that conversation at 7:40. Thank you so much for joining us here on WDKOK Sunrise. I'm glad to say Kay Holdren is here. She's the director of Hospice of Evangelical. One of the reasons this is a timely visit. Now, they have a volunteer training that's coming up on September 10th and 11th, so you want to sign up for that. 522-2550 is the phone number, okay? And evenhospital.com, and you can just look under hospice there if you want to make sure. But we're really talking about the basics of hospice care, and when I say the phrase modern hospice care, you shake your head, yes, so that's a real phrase, that it's different today than it might have been when you first started.
I think hospice has been evolving, and especially with more people using hospice. And when I started with hospice care, I felt like a lot of people in the community didn't really understand hospice. And so we were teaching the community about hospice care. And I think now that what we're working on is making sure the community understands the full benefits of hospice care.
Well, and that can be months and months of care, not just the last minute. So really, you want folks to contact you when they know that end-of-life care is going to be appropriate at some point.
When they are aware, and what I always say is, as a hospice program, I am happy to send someone out to talk with you about hospice care so that you can make the choice when it's the right time for you to become enrolled in hospice. You know, when we have the last couple of days, all we have the opportunity to do is crisis management. When we have months, we have the opportunity to help facilitate what that last journey looks like for a person and a family, and helping them to be intentional about how they choose to live during that time period.
All right. Well, and I think that's key, because your goal isn't just to do that crisis management, although you are capable of it, but is to do that care that might start 6 months or 8 months ahead of time, and to provide that care and that respite and that patient support and the running of errands and the listening for months.
It's true. And I think even just helping the families understand what's happening as it's happening, you know, the education piece that the nurses do, the pain and symptom management, and really looking at what conversations does someone want to have, and how can we help facilitate those? You know, what kind of activities do they want to do? What goal can we help them achieve? And when we have time, it helps us to be able to do that. And I've never had a family say, "We had you too long." I've had many families say, "If I would have known what all you could do, we would have had you sooner."
Well, yeah, I would think that would be a more common phrase, because you're doing, as you had described in our program earlier, care, not cure. So I think people think, okay, you're going to cure an ill that pops up at the last minute as hospice, but that's not. Your care is immediate.
The care is about the day-to-day. The care is about what is happening today and what can we do to manage it. We know we're not going to cure this disease. We know whether it's a cancer process or a COPD or congestive heart failure or a dementia, we're not going to cure that disease. What we can do is provide care that, and I believe because our nurses are so proactive, that a lot of times we prevent crises that without our care coming in would necessitate an ER visit or something that someone might really not want to have to do, especially if the care can be provided to help make sure that that doesn't need to happen.
Right, so Hospice of Evangelico is an opportunity for folks to get involved and help families in whatever their needs would be prior to the death of a loved one. Patient support, behind-the-scenes assistance, visiting, listening, running errands, assisting with meals, and then afterward bereavement service. You still continue to help the family to make sure that any help or assistance you can provide, you're there for.
It's true. The supports that we offer, we will be starting a Life After Loss support group that starts in September, which is a six-week support group open to the community. You don't have to have been a hospice patient for the family to come. It can be anyone who's had a death in the community. And we also do a Coping with the Holidays program in the fall. So there's a variety of bereavement supports that we provide.
Right. There are other hospice programs out there, and you are encouraging people to do a comparison. There's ways to sort of tools
there
to
is.
Use.
Medicare has developed a site. It's called medicare.gov, and it's called Hospice Compare, so that you can go in and enter your zip code in the site, and then it will pull up what hospices are in the area, and you can actually do a comparison of those hospices.
All right, and of course, I looked at it thanks to your printout there, and even really makes out superlatively and way above national average in all of these areas. So that's important for folks to consider.
It is important for folks to consider, and I think when you think about this as 2 years worth of people, families answering a survey about their experience, I think that provides a lot of validity to the information that's there.
If somebody utilizes hospice, how do they pay for it?
Hospice is covered by most insurances, all insurances. I haven't run into any insurances recently that do not cover hospice care. And so it's covered 100%.
Okay.
By insurance.
So that's that's probably a comfort for folks to make sure that they have that. And we've talked a couple times about things taking place in the home, but not all hospice care would be in the home.
It is not. We go into nursing homes, personal cares, assisted livings, and so that wherever that person makes their home, that's where hospice can go.
Okay, so and it may be in the hospital for a short time, too. It might be.
We utilize the hospital for when we have someone who has unmanaged pain and symptoms that we can't get managed in the home. We will then bring them into the hospital to be able to make sure we can manage the pain and symptoms. We use the hospital also for our respite program.
And anybody can volunteer. So,
anyone.
You know, 20 and 18 and over, I assume.
Yes, actually, we are looking for, we don't do teenagers yet, but anyone who's an adult, 18 and over, could be a volunteer. And I think that when you're looking for a volunteer experience where you really get that intimate time with a person, that's what hospice can offer to you.
All right. And so anybody can volunteer if you have the time to participate in the training and then have time to do the visitation and or the, you know, maybe it's just one day a week or every other week or so, maybe a Saturday afternoon. You never know.
We have families that we might encourage them to, like, take a day of the week in a certain time, and we make sure that volunteer goes that day, that time, so they know they can make appointments or plan their schedule around it. We also have families who just want someone to come when they have a doctor's appointment or need to go get their car serviced or those types of things. So there's a different ways that families use volunteers.
And Bucknell's pre-med students have a hospice component in their training.
Well,
now
there's a new program they're developing that just this year that we're going to be a part of, which is very exciting.
All right. Well, yeah, that's an important part of medical care, and the students might as well learn it now. All right. So we're just about out of time, but I know just enough about medicine to know that palliative care is a separate division of care. explain what palliative care is and how it works with hospice.
Palliative care, and we're lucky now to have an evangelical Dr. Giorgini, who's our palliative care physician. She will see people who have that longer prognosis. So it might be, or someone who might be still seeking curative treatment for cancer. And so she can see people who are having symptom issues, but it's a longer time. It's a longer involvement. And so it is not that end stage. And so the time to seek out palliative care support is much earlier in a disease progression. And she actually can be a resource in terms of when hospice might be appropriate.
Right. And palliative care might get involved when the individual does not die, that they do survive.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Like, and again, a lot of cancer diagnoses that are not terminal, she can be involved with, especially while they're going through treatments for pain and symptom management. And she is certainly an expert at those services. And so that would be but it's very different. People tend to lump them together.
And I keep saying cancer, but it doesn't have to be cancer.
No, it doesn't.
I'm stuck on cancer, I guess. I don't know why.
And I think that's because that's where hospice started.
Any terminal situation.
Disease progression.
All right. Well, 522-2550, evenhospital.com. Hospice of Evangelical, celebrating 30 years. Back before there wasn't really hospice. Hospice was a brand new idea when Evan got started in this.
I think Sun Home had started prior to us, and then us, and I think we were the second hospice in the area at that time.
And Sun Home is, they got gobbled
they are,
up, right?
They are part of the Geisinger system.
Okay, all right. All right, Kay Holdren, Hospice of Evangelical, thank you so much.
Thank you.